Following is a CKUW 95.9 FM special presentation created by volunteers in the community, made possible by generous listener support.
Hey folks, thanks for tuning in to the 95.9 FM at the U of W. We're so happy to have you here for our radio camp show. I'm Jocelyn, and this is Emma.
First up, we've got me, Jocelyn, and Aya with the fabulous history of the radio.
Play the thing!
Good afternoon, folks. Today we have a brief history of radio for you. We start off with Galileo Marconi on January 1st, 1894. He built the first successful wireless telegraphy system. It was based off of radio transmissions. It was used as a wireless Morse code in the military. Next stop is December 24th, 1906, at Brant Rock, Massachusetts. Reginald Fessenden makes the first audio broadcast. This is believed to be the start of audio modulation, which is today known as AM radio. As you're listening to this, the signal from our radio station is being spread in multiple directions. But in 1909, to make a signal spread in multiple directions, David Hale built the first radio station in San Jose, California. This later becomes KCBS Radio. On the infamous April 14th, 1912, the unsinkable RMS Titanic hit an iceberg, split in two, and sunk. The captain used the radio to call for help. Without the radio, so many more would have died. Following the sinking of the Titanic, large ships were required to have spark gap radios. Okay, bear with me here. Hanzo Skatonius Oosteringa Izerda, a Dutch engineer, on November 6, 1919, makes the first radio for entertainment. It becomes popular and broadcasts four times a week for the next 5 years. In 1920, the demand for music on radio increases, but on January 1st, copyright controversy arises. Next, we have Emma.
On November 2nd, 1920, the first commercial radio station was built in Pittsburgh. The first broadcast are the results of the presidential election. Next, on August 28th, 1922, New York's WEAF, later known as WNBC, is said to have aired the first radio ad attempts as early as 1920, have been documented, but they were unsuccessful. January 1st, 1923, copyright controversy continues to arise. The American Society of Composers and Authors and Publishers starts calling to collect license fees from stations. Artists are concerned that the radio stations are profiting from using their music, even though the radio stations claim they weren't. December 1st, 1925, 5XX, the BBC's radio stations, makes the first stereo broadcast. Next, we have IAT.
On January 1st, 1933, Edward H. Armstrong patents FM radio. FM radio reduces static, resulting in a clear sound. The first radio station to use this was W1XOJ, now known as WAAF, which was built in 1937. November 1st, 1954, the TR1 radio is for sale. It has a 22.5-volt battery to achieve adequate performance. Even though it has bad sound quality, it still sells 50,000 units. In 1963, the U of W radio opens, but is just on campus and is limited to schedules and music classes, etc. Some fun facts about the U of W are: it has the largest physical music collection in Manitoba, it has lots of different genres, and it has a yearly fundraiser. One year that they even had a marching band. January 1st, 1993, Carl Malamud creates Internet Talk Radio, the first internet radio program. Music continues to get more popular and sound quality continues to subtly improve. With this, online music today would be impossible. Next is Jocelyn.
On June 1st, 1995, the Norwegian Broadcasting Company, NRK, makes the first DAB, Digital Audio Broadcasting Station. This was used in Europe and was an experimentation in the 1980s. Different kinds started popping up across the world around the end of the decade. Later on, the U.S. Congress passes the Digital Millennium Copyrights Act, DMCA. New performance royalties have to be paid for when played on the radio. And finally, in 1999, the U of W starts to broadcast outside of campus and throughout Winnipeg. And today, the radio at the U of W is still broadcasting and open to the community. Thanks for listening. Okay. Hi, nice to see you. Hope you're having a good day.
Thank you.
I just got a few questions for you. So the first one is, how long have you worked here for?
I've worked here since September 2021, but I started as a volunteer about 11 years ago.
Oh, wow. Do you have your own show here?
Yes, I have a show called Radio Free Winnipeg. It's Tuesdays 3 to 5 p.m.
Cool. What's it about?
Well, it's a music show. I do events listings, weather report, and the recipe of the week.
Oh, what's your favorite recipe?
Well, the recipe of the week on the show, I purposely pick horrible recipes.
Well, why would you do that?
Because that's the gag. That's the funny.
You're so mean. I'm just going to say, hey, folks, this is a horrible recipe of the week. Really?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, but although I have found ones that aren't so bad, it's usually stuff from the 60s and the 70s, and some of their choices are odd for food.
Well, to each their own.
Yes, yeah, fair enough. But favorite recipe, shucks, I don't know. That's tough to say.
Okay, what is the least favorite recipe that you've put on your radio?
There was a ham, there was a, what was it, bacon and banana hollandaise.
What?
So if you've ever had an eggs benedict.
Yeah.
So it was basically banana wrapped in bacon with like this hollandaise sauce on top.
Your poor listeners. I'm so sorry.
It looked disgusting.
Yeah, at least they don't have to see it. What did you take in university?
I took, I have a BA honors degree in history, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite fun fact about the radio station?
Well, I would say here for CKW, a lot of people ended up having careers in radio. Joe Aiello, who's on FM, I think he's on, I forget what station he's on now, but he's a kind of a radio personality. He started here way back in the day in the 80s. There's several other people as well. And we were one of the first, I think we were one of the first stations, if not the first station, to air Democracy Now 5 days a week.
Wow.
In Canada. And Democracy Now! Is a very popular news show out of the United States, independent, hour-long, great news show. And now, basically, almost every station in Canada does.
Every station?
Has taken our lead. So, CQW does a lot of innovative stuff.
Well, great job.
Yeah.
That's all the questions for today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Keely. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
So I've just got a few questions for you here today. So I know you work with the Stylist magazine. How long have you been working with them?
I started as assistant editor a couple of years ago, and then I was an assistant for a couple of months, and then I've been editor for the past couple of years now, which is wild. Time flies.
That's so cool. What is your favorite part of working for the magazine?
I think my favorite part of working for the magazine is nurturing new writers and seeing people that are just like equally as excited and all of the music and stuff happening in the city as me.
Wow. What classes did you take in university to get here?
I have a lot of university. So I started writing and editing for Stylist before I went back to school. Because I went to the U of W and I have, you know, degrees in like East Asian language and culture and all the rest of that fun stuff. But I started like writing for Stylist magazine, and then I started like photographing through the Uniter, and then it kind of led me to go back to school at Red River to take creative communications, which I've just graduated.
Yeah. How has music changed through the decades?
I think there's a lot more bleed between different genres now. Like, people don't feel, like, as categorized, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's about all the questions today. Thank you.
All right.
Have a good day. That was so cool. Thank you, me and Emma and Ayat. Speaking of Emma and Ayat, they interviewed the folks at Cinema. Here you go.
Hi, my name is Emma at Cinema Tech.
And my name is Ayat.
And we're here with...
Olivia Norquay.
Eric Peterson.
Nick Kineski.
What is the newest movie in the theater?
The newest movie currently playing in the theater is Green Border, which is starting tonight, actually. On Wednesday, August 14th.
How long have you worked here?
I have worked here. I started in the box office about 5-ish years ago and have been doing programming for about 3 years.
I started in the box office 10 years ago. I've been here for a very long time, and I am now the head projectionist at the theater for the last 4 years.
I started in the box office 3 years ago, and I've been the box office manager for about 2 years.
What is the best-selling movie in the time?
Recently, Princess Mononoke has done really well. The Death Tour. I also remember Parasite doing really, really well.
We've had a lot of good sold-out anime screenings right now, which have done very well. So people seem to love anime.
What is your favorite movie that has played here?
My favorite movie that played here is actually my favorite movie of all time. It's 2001: A Space Odyssey.
We recently played I Saw the TV Glow, and I really enjoyed that one. That was one of my favorites.
And we played, a movie called Arrebato. It's a Spanish horror movie. We played it a few years ago, and I really love that movie.
That's really cool.
What is your favorite part of working here?
I like movies. That helps. I guess it's a cool sense of community that comes with working here, so that I really appreciate that.
I've always loved movies. I'm also a filmmaker, so I make movies as well. Just working at Cinematech, being able to have a sense of community with the local film community and seeing all the people coming together to watch movies is always kind of the fun part about working here.
Yeah, likewise, I really love movies. I like all the people that come here. I also really like all the people that work here, and that makes my job a lot better.
How did your life start at the cinema?
I guess I have always been a fan of movies, big movie head. Just starting in the box office just kind of made sense. It was a good part-time job, and then I got more into programming.
I can actually remember one of the first movies I ever saw in the theater, Toy Story 2. Great movie. But in general, I've just always... Watching movies with my family and stuff, it's always been a fun time, and I kind of fell in love with just movies and making movies, so it's always kind of been a good, fun place to work.
I was raised with a deep appreciation for movies. My dad loved movies, and growing up watching weirder movies and different movies, it's fun how vast cinema can be, and there's so many types of expression. The first time I ever came to Cinematech was to see my friend's movie, who did the teen filmmaking camp in the summer, and that was really cool. And I've loved getting to come here ever since.
Do you remember the first movie you saw in a movie theater?
The first movie I saw in a movie theater, I don't remember. I was the second child, so my parents wrote nothing down, so they don't remember me.
I think I remember mine. I saw Beauty and the Beast in the theater and cried and had to leave.
Oh, no.
Too sad.
Disney. Everyone loves it.
That's actually one of my favorite movies.
Oh, Beauty and the
yes.
Beast. Yeah.
What made you work here?
I needed another job, and this was perfect. And yeah, like Nick said, it's a great group of people that work here, so
this is my only job I've ever had. I've worked here for 10 years. When I graduated high school, I was going to the University of Winnipeg for film and needed a job, and there was an opening at the Cinematech, and I always loved world cinema and all different types of movies, and seem like a perfect fit, and apparently it is, because I'm still here after 10 years, so I'm never leaving.
Yeah, I thought this place was really cool, and I saw there was an opening, and I needed a job at the time, so I was really excited, and I was really nervous to apply. I prepared before my interview, and then Olivia interviewed me, and it was really nice.
How long has this been in business? Been a business?
Well, the film group, the Winnipeg Film Group, has been around for 50 years, and it's a production center for filmmakers. We also do rentals and workshops and distribute films. And so Cinematheque is just sort of the exhibition part of that. And I think Cinematheque opened in 1986.
I believe so.
Yeah, it's around there. So, yeah, for a while.
That's more context. So originally, the Cinematheque was run out of Cinema Main, which was on Main Street. Which was the NFB Theater, and it was run out of there. And then in the 1980s, the film group moved into the Art Space building on Arthur Street, and the theater moved into the main floor around, I think, 1986. So it's been in the building for about 30, 40 years. I'm not sure about my math. 30, 40-ish years, or maybe, I don't know what the math, 25 or something like that. So it's been around in this building for quite a long time, and it's gone through a lot of financial issues, but somehow we've able to stay afloat and keep the movies coming, because people have come to the movies.
Anything else?
What is your guys' favorite movie?
Oh, it's going to have to be Beauty and the Beast.
I don't know. There's so many good movies.
What's the last movie?
The last movie I saw was Despicable Me 4.
Oh, nice. How was that?
That was really good.
Nice.
We can't forget... Oh. What an interesting interview. Next up, we have Sophia and Alexander, who both interviewed the folks at Pan Am Boxing Ring.
How long has this place been in business?
Great question. Pan Am Boxing Club's been in business for, 56 years? Since 1968, I believe. What's this area? 1968 we were established. So since 1968, we've been in continuous operation.
When you ask for you.
Do you know the oldest boxer?
Now, I'll ask you a question for your question. Is it the oldest boxer from Pan Am or the oldest boxer of boxers in all?
The oldest boxer from Pan Am.
Good question. I don't actually know who the very first fighter was, because that was, again, 1968. They had fighters all the way back then. But I know that Ed Yarnchuk, I believe he was the founder, one of the founders. And he would have been the first coach, I believe. And he was the head coach for a long time. And he was the head coach for my boss, Harry Black, who was one of the fighters, not in 1968, but was one of the fighters early on in the 70s.
Who was the youngest boxer?
Good question. So I'll answer that question in a slightly different way than you may have intended. And I'll just say that our youngest fighter that we've had recently is 8 years old. So with amateur boxing, you can start to compete now in a controlled setting at age 6. But the youngest we've worked with are 8 years old.
How long have you, been here?
I believe I've been here for close to 14 years. So I've been competing for 13. So I believe I've been at the gym for very close to 14.
Do you watch boxing?
All the time. It's a very fun sport to watch.
Do you have a favorite boxer?
Oh, good question. I don't have one favorite fighter. I have many. Naoya Inoue, he's a Japanese fighter. He's very good. Terrence Crawford, he's an American fighter. He's also extremely good. Canelo Alvarez, he's a Mexican fighter, very good. And I have many more, but I'll just name those as a few of my favorites.
Okay.
Hello, CKUW. My name is Alexander, and today I will be interviewing a boxer. So can you please tell me your name?
Sure. I'm Dylan Martin.
Okay. So, firstly, how many years have you been boxing?
I compete competed, so I was competitive for 13 years, close to.
So that brings me to my next question. How many times have you KO'd somebody?
KO'd? So I was an amateur fighter, so with amateur, there's not very many KOs. So maybe 5 or 6 stoppages in my career.
So how many times have you stepped into the ring?
Sure. I had 97 fights before I retired.
Yeah. So that brings me to the end of my interview. Thank you for joining me.
Sure thing. Thank you.
Now, this radio camp would be impossible without the Spence Neighborhood Association and the University of Winnipeg RecPlex. And, of course, I want to wish a happy birthday to my amazing mom.
We cannot forget about the University of Winnipeg events and academic services and printedshirts.ca. And last but most definitely not least, Diversity Food Services.
Now we're getting kicked out, so here's Teddy and Ron to take the mic.
That's it for me and Jocelyn. Here we have Open Arms by Travis Scott and SZA.
When you do your best, you can, I told you. When you do your best, yeah, that's all you can do. You, me, and anybody else. So they always are talking.
Questions, repercussions, karma keep on changing. For you, I try.
Face card, belly ID. C'est la vie, go to Perry. It ain't 5-star, it ain't me. Over solid, keep it concrete. I'ma bet it on your old feet.
Just don't switch sides.
I can 5-piece your wrist AP. Through the ups and downs and all the heat. Take a turn and tell you where to be. Back shots make you feel relief. Anything, just don't care.
I guess I gotta go. just heard Open Arms by Travis Scott.
And right now, we're going to do a live segment. I'm going to do my top three, and Teddy's going to do his number 10, 9, and 7th favorite album, because he's already talked about the other albums on previous years.
Yeah.
So I'll get it started. My third favorite album of all time is All Things Must Pass by George Harrison. I first listened to this album only this year, and it's quickly rose to be one of my favorite albums. It's quite a long album, nearly an hour and a half, so I listen to it on my deck with a cup of tea going side by side and taking a few notes in between sides. I thought the lyrics and themes were very well put together. Many of the songs are very poetic, with songs like All Things Must Pass, the title track, being very in line with the themes throughout the album of finding peace of mind and reconciling with the past. It's basically the thesis song of the album. Art of Dying is all about reincarnation and being fulfilled in our souls and all that spiritual cool stuff. Beware of Darkness is apparently about what George thinks the meaning of life is, so that's pretty cool. And there's also many sweet ballads like Apple Scruffs, which is a jolly love letter to the Beatles fan club Apple Scruffs. There's also a few Beatles diss tracks like Run of the Mill, and arguably Isn't It a Pity was put on the album as Beatles commentary, even if it wasn't originally written about them. But overall, the songwriting and themes in the album are quite religious, and although I quite disagree with some of his ideas, like living life in a way to experience what happens after death, I still agree quite a bit with the sentiment of processing and moving on from past grievances. And even if I don't relate to plenty of the song ideas, George's full belief and passion for these ideas is what makes the album so special. I also just find the album to generally sound really nice and relaxing, so it's easily 10 out of 10 for me. My favorite song is the title track, All Things Must Pass, as it's helped me get through some hard days, so if there's any other song on the album I think you should listen to, it's that one. And yeah, that's my opinion on that album.
And my 10th favorite album is Code 915913 by L90. L90 is a Russian ambient house, lo-fi house, outsider house artist. Pretty obscure, a little under 80,000 monthly listeners on Spotify, but his most well-known release is, of course, Code 915913. And it should be a lot more well-known because it's fantastic. You may remember me talking about Kindred by Burial last year, where I described it as a nocturnal, melancholic, ambient EDM EP that helped me appreciate the nighttime more, and I'd say Code 915913 is in a similar vein. I'd also call it nocturnal, melancholic, ambient EDM. And I just love that type of music because it made me see the beauty in the nighttime that I had previously been blind to. So many tracks on here are just so bittersweet and beautifully dark, like there's an angel beside you while you're walking on the street at 2 a.m. I love how much emotion this album conveys while sounding like it was recorded on a potato. And actually, when I say that it sounds like it was recorded on a potato, I mean that as a compliment. If anything, I feel like it helps convey its emotion more. Just the lo-fi. It's just such an amazing album that makes the city at night look like a black sky at heaven. Comparing this to Kindred by Burial, the nighttime, which is the nighttime album I placed higher, I definitely like the melodies in Code 915913 more than the melodies in Kindred, but I only really place Kindred higher because, I don't know, there's just something about that EP that just gives me goosebumps. It makes me feel something I've never felt before. But yeah, Code 915913, amazing album, pretty slept on. If you want, you can listen to it, and thus making it ever so slightly less slept on. What's your second favorite album, Ron?
Wow, I gotta give that one a listen. But yeah, my second favorite album of all time is Igor by Tyler, the Creator, and it's my favorite story album. The story of the album is very clean, fast-paced, and in my opinion, very well written. And I don't need to explain the entire story, but essentially it's a love triangle between the protagonist Igor, an unnamed love interest, who I'll name Frank, and his love interest girlfriend. The album starts with the blooming love with Igor and Frank on songs like Earthquake and I Think. As the album progresses, the relationship becomes more evidently toxic and symbiotic on songs like New Magic Wand and Puppet, before they eventually break up, and the last song, Are We Still Friends, Is Igor trying to salvage his relationship with Frank at least a little bit? And finally, the ending is a single note on a synth that can transition easily back into the opening note of Igor's theme, the first song, implying that the relationship will continue in this toxic cycle. What I love about this really interesting and very followable story is that each time I listen to it, it feels like a movie album playing in my head, as I could create my own new music videos in my head each time I listen to it. And even if you don't pay attention to the story, you can still enjoy the album just for the vibes and the sound of the album, which I find to be very beautiful. The 80s synth-sounding production with very unique vocals and vocal pitching that separates this album from the rest of Tyler's catalog sounds really amazing to me. And the album flows really nicely from song to song, making for a very easy album to listen to in any setting. My favorite song on the album is New Magic Wand. Kind of basic, but the production and atmosphere is out of this world, and the angry vocals and lyrics are very compelling to me. Overall, Igor is a very well-put-together story album that I could easily give a 10 out of 10, and I'm excited to hear your next album.
I do agree that Igor is an amazing album.
Yeah.
I love that album. But an album I love even more is my ninth favorite album, Dreamcast Summer Songs by Devon Hendricks. If you think you haven't heard of Devon Hendricks, there's still a chance that you probably have, because Devon Hendricks is the old and retired alias of JPEG Mafia. If you're still unfamiliar, JPEG Mafia is an experimental hip-hop artist known for his very eccentric beats and provocative lyrics. His 2018 album Veteran is what blew him up and catapulted him to experimental hip-hop stardom, but many would argue that his material pre-2016, before he went under the JPEG Mafia name, is just as good, if not better. His most well-known album under his old Devon Hendricks alias is The Ghost Pop Tape, a cold and disturbingly depressing ambient R&B album made when he was enlisted in the military and was fighting severe depression and suicidal thoughts. But his second most well-known and acclaimed album under that alias is, of course, Dreamcast Summer Songs, and it's a very stark contrast to the Ghost Pop Tape, as it's a beat tape mainly consisting of very chill, mellow, and nice-sounding hip-hop beats. There's even debate on whether or not this predated the genre Vaporwave, as it was recorded between 2007 and 2009. But proto-Vaporwave or not, it's spectacular. The beats are so warm, melodic, chill, gorgeous. It's like the warmest, nicest day at the nicest beach where you're just basking and melting in your hammock. Yeah. My favorite beats in particular are Game Shark and Crazy Taxi. Those beats are just unspeakably good, and they should be talked about more. Like, and it's weird to think about how he barely had any fans at all when he made his Devon Hendricks albums. It really goes to show how much amazing music there is out there that no one has heard yet, just begging to be discovered. Makes you think.
The all-new iPhone 16 featuring 8 cameras and up to 10 minutes of battery life.
There are 8 camera settings, being close, incredibly close, and so close you can't even tell what the picture is. As well as far, insanely far, and so far you can't even tell what the picture is, and blurry, and incredibly blurry.
The flashlight only causes temporary blindness.
Get yours today for only $6,000,099.
And thank you to our sponsors there. Now, my favorite album of all time is Food by MF Doom.
Really?
Yeah, and yeah. It's an entire album about food. MF Doom is my favorite artist, and I think this album shows off everything that made him truly a special rapper and producer. Almost every song revolves around using food as a metaphor for something that Doom wants to comment on or complain about. Beef Rap, the opening track, is about hip-hop diss tracks and feud, while also using many double entendres relating to food. Like the title itself, meaning a beef between rappers and a physical rap with beef in it. And the first line Doom spits on the album is, "Beef rap could lead to getting teeth capped," meaning in a literal sense that unhealthy food will get you cavities, while also meaning rap feuds will lead to violence. Some songs only reference food in the title, like Deep Fried Friends being a song about Doom's cynical view of fake friends and people leeching off him, and Rap Snitch Knishes being about rappers snitching on themselves in music. While some of these stretches of songs don't seem to have much to do with food, the album as a whole feels cohesive mainly due to the production and song order. For example, the fact that the opener and closer are both very food-heavy songs. Cookies, the closer, has some of the most creative bars on the whole album that uses various cookie brands as a metaphor for something I can't describe on radio, but if you're of age, I would recommend looking into it because it's a great song. And the whole album ends with an instrumental segment that harkens back to the very opening instrumental, which makes the experience feel all wrapped up and cohesive. Speaking of instrumentals, one of the most impressive parts of the whole album is the production. A couple songs had some production from other people, but aside from three songs, the whole album showcases Doom's masterful production and sampling. He pulls food-related samples from a wide variety of sources. The album opens with a two-minute instrumental sound collage featuring clips from stoner comedies, Frank Zappa, and old cartoon clips from Spider-Man and Fantastic Four, something that Doom is known for using in his music. There's a full four-song instrumental interlude in the album with prominent samples from Electric Company skits and news programs where he uses the samples to paint a picture and convey his ideas, with news anchors talking about edible wrappers and then some funny recipes from the Electric Company. But my favorite song on the whole album is the opener, Beef Wrap. It's the spawning point for the themes and ideas of the whole album, so if you listen to one song, it should be that one. And overall, with his infinitely inventive and impressive lyricism and his genius production, the album shapes up to be what I consider a perfect album, and it is my favorite album.
Yeah, I gotta re-listen to that album. I only remember Mad Villainy, but, Okay, my eighth favorite album is Velocity Design Comfort by Sweetshirt, which I already mentioned, but my seventh favorite album is Demo by The Brave Little Abacus. The Brave Little Abacus were a short-lived progressive math rock slash Midwest emo band that formed in 2007 and disbanded in 2012. Their two most celebrated releases are by far their two studio albums, Mass Dancers and Just Got Back from the Discomfort We're Alright, with the latter being the slightly more celebrated release. These are basically the only albums they ever released, but they also released two EPs, Demo and Okame, but their EPs get overshadowed by their much more popular and acclaimed studio albums, which I think is a big shame because Demo is by far my favorite release from them. Now, The Brave Little Abacus were fairly experimental and eccentric as they incorporated use of electronics and chiptune sounds into their music occasionally, and this is probably most apparent on their EP Demo, where it's almost bordering on Nintendo core at points. Yes, that's a real genre. That's a real hardcore punk subgenre. Yeah, especially with all of the video game samples. This was their first project as a band, dating back to 2008, and you can tell it's from the 2000s when you find out that all the songs on it were first uploaded onto MySpace. One thing that strikes me about this EP is that they were only 16 to 17 when they made it. That's my age. I could never. I don't know how a bunch of kids my age made an EP that kicks this much, but I don't know. Should I say the A word on radio?
But it's fine.
Okay. The opening track, The Buffalo, starts with a sample of the Game Boy startup jingle, and then you hear the vocalist Adam Demirjian scream. And let me tell you, that scream is enough to get you to listen to the entire EP and even the band's entire discography, at least for me, anyway. I love this track so much. I love the guitar, the vocals, the trumpet. It's so beautiful and melodic and warm. Like an emo band playing at the gates of heaven, if you will. Yeah. Now, we've been watching Ren and Stimpy in radio classes of late, which I find ironic because this next song, You're Not Me But Neither Am I, has a bunch of Ren and Stimpy samples in it.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, this is probably the hardest and rawest song in the EP, and it's amazing. I love the guitar and the You're not me, but neither am I, but neither am I. And yeah, it's just amazing. The next song, Imaginary Peaks, Imaginary Beasts, is the longest song here at 7 minutes. It's the most progressive, the most post-rock out of all of them. But despite that, it's probably my least favorite song here. But that doesn't mean it's bad at all. It's still amazing. The structure is very solid, the ambient bridge is gorgeous, and a fun fact, right before the clock struck midnight on my 16th birthday, I timed it perfectly to the switch in this song, like 5 minutes in. So, yeah. The final song, El Capitano, features samples of the Yoshi mounting sound effect and Baby Mario crying,
which is
pretty funny. Samples aside, this is my favorite song on the EP, my favorite song by the band, and one of my favorite songs of all time. The synthesizer that goes, ooh, in the first half are awesome, and the vocals complement it very nicely. And that's really all I have to say about the first half of the song, but the second half is unspeakable. The guitars, the vocals, everything about it. It's the sound of the universe imploding, the sound of the sun turning into a big red giant and devouring the earth, the sound of the densest of stars exploding and flooding all of space with nothing but supernovas. It's insane. And then during the final part of the song, you hear the vocalist scream, "I am not a horse," a few times. And then he starts screaming it in reverse, so it's like Ezra Adomea. And then at the very, very end of the song and the entire EP, you hear the vocalist scream just like you did at the very beginning. So it all just comes full circle. Overall, this EP is blistering and oozing with passion and energy, and it has such an unusually perfect and watertight track list. It's the sound of a band on fucking fire, and yeah, I have all of the praise in the world for it. Oh, wait, should I not say that?
Oops.
I forgot. Okay. I chose El Capitano as the song I wanted to play during the show, but unfortunately I got snubbed by a random number generator, but that's fine. You can just listen to it at home. I guess I'll just do an update on my other albums. No, okay. Never mind.
Well, those were our favorite albums, and next up is Teddy's Trivia Game.
Hello, this is Teddy, and this is my game show, Rate Your Trivia. I'm with my two contestants.
Ron.
And Sam.
And how this works is I'm going to randomly generate a number from 1 to 200, and if it lands on a number from 1 to 100, say 65, I'm going to look at the 65th album in the top 100 chart on Rate Your Music, limited to one per artist, and Ron and Sam have to guess the band or artist that made that album. If it lands on a number from 101 to 200, I'll do the same thing, but with the top 100 most popular albums, that is albums that have the most ratings. So if it lands on 152, I'm going to look at the 52nd album in the top 100 most popular charts, and they have to guess the band that made that album. And just to clarify, there's no option to limit it to one per artist in the popular chart.
Is this a band of two or more people?
Yes.
Is this band active?
Well, they haven't disbanded, but they haven't released an album in a while. So, okay. Yeah.
Does this band have four members?
There's three main members, yeah.
Is this, would you consider this a rock band?
Not really.
Did they debut after 1990?
Yeah.
Is this band American?
No.
Is this band Canadian?
No.
Is this band British?
Yes.
Did this band debut after 2000?
No.
Would you consider this band a pop band?
Doesn't say they are, no.
Does the band name start with letters A to H?
No.
These three main members of the band, are they musicians or just singers?
There's one singer.
Does their band name start with letters M to R?
Yes.
Are any of the band members women?
Yes.
Are two of the members women?
No.
So there's three main members, and there's some amount of maybe peripheral or extra less important members. Does this band play electronic music?
Yes.
Is the singer a woman?
Yes.
I would like to make a guess.
All right.
Is this Portishead?
Yes.
Oh!
Okay, is this a band?
Yes.
Does the band have four or less members?
I don't think so, no. More than four members.
Okay, more than four. Is this a rock band?
Yeah.
Is there five members?
I think there are five members. There were four original members.
Okay.
Okay, I guess it's always been four.
Four, okay.
So there are four members.
Yeah.
Okay. Is this band American?
No.
Is this band British?
Yes.
Oh, another British band.
Yeah.
Is this band currently active?
They haven't released an album in a while, but they haven't disbanded. They have disbanded before, but I guess they reformed. Yeah.
Did they debut in the 80s or 90s?
No. But yeah, they're basically over, I guess. Even though they have...
This is a rock band, right?
Yeah.
A British four-piece rock band that is more or less disbanded. Did this band debut in the decade of the 2000s?
No.
Does the band name start with a the?
No.
Okay, did this band debut before 1980?
Yes.
Did they debut in the 60s or 70s?
Yes.
I think I maybe have a bit of a guess, but I'm going to keep asking questions. Is this band from Birmingham?
No. Doesn't say they were formed in Birmingham.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I thought it might be Black Sabbath, but...
Oh.
Oh. Does their band name start with letters from A to N?
No.
Is this band in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Yep.
Does their band name start with letters M to S?
Yes.
Are there any women in this band?
No.
Does their starting letter, is it M, N, O, or P?
Yes.
Is it a one-word name?
No.
Did they debut in the 60s?
Yes.
Is it purple, comma, deep?
What?
I'm joking. Is it a two-word name?
Yes.
Does it start with an M or N?
No.
Does it start with an O?
No.
Is it Portis Space Head?
Does this band feature a color in their band name?
Yes.
Is the band Pink Floyd?
Yes.
Whoa!
Alright, for the tiebreaker, is this a band?
No.
Did this person debut past 2000?
No.
Is this typically a person with a guitar? Like a guitarist singer?
Yeah.
Did they debut in the 90s?
No.
Is this a folk musician?
Yes.
Does their name start with letters A to H?
No.
So it's not Bob Dylan.
That's exactly what it was.
Is this person American?
No. Well, they weren't born in America, but they're currently in America, yeah.
Does their name start with letters I to M?
No.
Is this person Canadian?
Yeah.
Originally Canadian. Okay.
Yeah.
Is this a man?
Yes.
Is this person originally from Winnipeg?
It doesn't say he was born in Winnipeg, but he has lived in Winnipeg. Yeah.
Is this Neil Young?
Yes.
Damn!
I'm pretty sure he was born in Winnipeg.
It says he was born in Toronto.
Oh, I didn't know that. I wanna kill. I've been
We just heard the game show.
And congratulations to me for winning it fair and square. What we're about to hear is Drop by Connor Price, and when we're back, Romeo and Jack will be in the studio.
Whoa. 100 players.
straight to the top. Never going down, don't wait for the drop. Never stand still, that's the motto. Yeah, brand new bands for the auto. Oh, foot to the ground, full throttle. Big energy for the night like Lotto. Damn, y'all talk lots, never disquiet. Life like a Seinfeld plot. Ball full of songs, all of them bombs. Something like a minefield got. Boom. Get it, tickets running out quick. Bet it, never get it outbid. Said it, never had to shout it. They said I couldn't ever do it, okay, how's this? Fit a week worth of work in a minute. Machine well oiled, you know how I stay efficient. To-do list written, I do this different. Hold up, wait a minute, I ain't finished. Okay. Look, flow's the same now. Paved the way, the snakes and fakes are chased out. Back to back to back, I changed the pace now. Had to stack the cash until the bank's out. Straight to the top, never going down, don't wait for the drop. Never stand still, that's the motto, yeah. Brand new bands for the auto, oh. Foot to the ground, full throttle. Big energy for the night like Lotto. Damn, y'all talk lots, never disquiet. Life like a Seinfeld plot. Ball full of songs, all of them bombs. Something like a minefield got, boom.
Wieder mal am Döner, doch Casino fahren wir gleich. Heute ist der Abend, wo ich denke, ich werd reich. Laufe durch Charlottenburg, doch Info Polizei. In mein Trainingsanzug, Adidas, da fängt's mir zu leicht. Kontakte in Amerika, ich frage sie, what up? Ich wollte nicht saufen, aber habe es verkackt. Handy klingelt ohne Pause und ich lehne ab. Hab ich Kater nach der Party, geht mir alles auf den Sack. FaceTime Call mit meinem Bruder aus Türkei. Er bringt mir ein Trikot, was gefällt, ist aber geil. Die Kippe in den Plastikbecher, kalten Wodka rein. Ich kann nicht mehr denken, aber stehen wie eine Eins. Ich will ein Mercedes, der neben gut aussehen und schnell fahren noch einiges mehr kann. Und fragt mich der Kommissar, was ich verkaufe, dann sorry, but I don't speak German.
Straight to the top, never going down, don't wait for the drop. Never stand still, that's the motto, yeah. Brand new bands for the auto, oh. Foot to the ground, full throttle. Big energy for the night like Lotto. Damn, y'all talk lots, never disquiet. Life like a Seinfeld plot. Ball full of songs, all of them bombs. Something like a minefield got, boom.
Hello, I'm Romeo.
And I'm Jack.
And we are, I guess, the next thing that's happening is going to be Romeo and Jack's soccer starting 11. Hi, I'm Romeo.
And I'm Jack.
Today it's raining cats and dogs, so you might not want to leave. But there's another reason you might not want to leave your house.
It's because you might miss our starting 11.
So that's basically your soccer dream team. I'll go first. My first pick is Martinez.
And my first pick is the Brazilian Ronaldo.
Those are both strikers. My left wing is Pelé.
My left wing is Mbappé.
My right wing is Messi because he's my favorite player.
My right wing is going to have to be Henry.
And my center mid, my first center mid, is going to be Bellingham.
My first center mid is going to be Ronaldinho.
And my second center mid is going to be Benzema.
My second center mid pick is going to be Zinedine Zidane.
And my third center mid pick is going to be Vitan.
My last center mid spot is going to have to go to Luka Modric.
Then my left back is going to be Neymar because my left wing spot was already taken.
My left back is Roberto Carlos.
My center back is going to be Kalula.
My first center back is going to be Virgil van Dijk.
And my second center back is going to be King.
My second center back is going to be Maldini.
My right back is going to be Cafu.
My right back is going to be Carlos Alberto.
My goalkeeper is going to be Oblak.
And my goalkeeper is going to be Liv Yashin.
That's it for us.
Thank you
for listening.
Hello, my name is Ayan, and what's your name?
My name's Kari. It's nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you, too. I'm going to be doing an interview for you today. I'm going to ask you a couple questions.
Absolutely.
So, first of all, how long have you been working here?
I have been here full-time for 35 years.
35 years, that is insane. And do you know how long the store has been open for?
I do, because my parents started it for me when I was 9, so the store is 47 years old.
47 years old, that is a long time. So do you know what's the toy that's been selling a lot recently?
It's interesting, because most toy stores have toys that aren't really advertised, so people are looking for those things that they've seen on TV. But our store is really different. We don't have that. It's more sections of the store that are really popular. And for us, those sections are science, board games, jigsaw puzzles, arts and crafts, and then we have an area called collectible, which is all the stuff we don't know where to put. And it's a very popular area because it's weird and wonderful.
Oh, yeah, collectible sounds really really interesting there. Okay, and what's the most weirdest toy here?
Bigfoot finger puppets.
Really?
Well, actually, I should change that. It's Bigfoot feet finger puppets. And if you're not into Bigfoot, you could get duck feet finger puppets.
So it's duck feet has a feet for your toes.
For your fingers.
Oh, for your fingers.
Right.
Okay.
So you can walk like a duck.
That is insane. And what are some like big events that have been happening here?
Well, once a year we have our giant sidewalk sale that happens the third Saturday of September. It's one that's really well attended. We've done some neat things like candy pop-up sales. We've hosted lots of groups like your group, or students looking to work in daycares. And we are open for first Fridays in the exchange. So a lot of places are open late, including lots of artist studios and us.
That is really interesting, like a thing on the sidewalk. Lots of people are going to get that, especially because it's downtown. Yeah, and okay, that's it. Thank you for spending your time with CKUW.
You're welcome. Have a great day. You too.
Come on down to the Wacky Food Store. We got green milk. It's green because it's lime flavored. It is not spoiled. We got blueberry bread. So if you see little blue spots around your bread, it is blueberry. All our bread is blueberry flavored. We got chocolate bananas. All the brown spots on the bananas are chocolate. Do not worry. And we got squishy fruit. Plenty of squishy fruit. It's squishy because it always makes it more fun. We're celebrating Halloween all year round, so we got cobwebs and fake cockroaches crawling around the store. Come on down.
Hi, I'm Jocelyn. What's your name?
My name's Kari.
Hi, Kari. So, what's the history of toys and the ads behind them?
Oh, you know what? That's something I haven't looked into a lot, but I have done a number of radio ads for the store, and it's been a really interesting process. And I've learned that you really need a good hook when you're doing an ad, especially an ad campaign, something that will keep people understanding the whole arc of your campaign.
That's so cool. What were radios like when you were a kid?
What were radios like when I was a kid? You know, I have to honestly say that growing up, my parents only listened to CBC radio, so talk radio. So that's pretty much what I listened to until I was probably your age. And then rock radio started on the scene, and I listened to that a lot.
That's so cool. That's all today. Thanks.
Okay, you're welcome.
Hello, we're back. Those are some interesting interviews.
CKUW Radio Camp would like to thank the following donors for their support. Anonymous, Barry Konzelman, Jason Hooper, Nicole Furlott,
Alice Satter, Matt Henderson. That is it for the sponsors. Now we're going to into the music interview with Talia.
Hello, this is Talia interviewing
Jason
from Into the Music. Who are your favorite music artists?
Oh boy, I have lots and it changes all the time, but I would say one of my favorite is a band called Guided by Voices from Ohio. Also, I really enjoy lots of new pop, like Ariana Grande, Harry Styles, that kind of stuff. But also, lots of extreme heavy metal, too. So, it's tough to just name them all.
That's cool. I like Ariana Grande a lot. She's my favorite. Yeah.